started. Thankful to be in church this morning. Thankful to be saved. Thankful to be loved by a God in heaven. You know, I was thinking about those verses that Pastor was reading this morning in Sunday school and just thinking about the fact that, you know, David was talking about how God hears him. If you ever stop to think about that, as a child of God, that you can lift up your voice to the Lord and plead with him and call out to him and confess to him and commune with him, and that when you are speaking to God, the creator of this world, created everything you see when you go outside, created the oceans, created the mountains, created the animals, created mankind, that not only does he know me, but he hears me. It's a humbling thought. I don't understand why he hears me, why he'd want to hear from me. He knows me better than me, and I know that I'm not that great to hear from. So I am thankful that I have a God in heaven that loves me so much that he wants to hear from me, that he wants to correct me, that he wants to grow me, that he wants to have a close relationship with me. I'm so thankful for that this morning. Before we get started, I'm going to ask Brother Ralph if you'd open us up with a word of prayer.
Father, we thank you for the privilege that we have to be in your house this morning. So many of us take that opportunity for granted. So many folks around the world don't have a facility like this to be in. If they have a place to meet at all, it has to be people's homes. Or they have to be out in the woods somewhere or something like that because of persecution that they are under. As we noted in Sunday school, help us to be thankful for all that we have. Pray for the service today. Continue to speak to us through your word. With our pastor, give him the words to say. Help us to listen, pay attention, and glean from what is said. But as we also noted, help us to be doers of your word and not hearers only. Help us not to look in the mirror, see where we need to make changes, and then leave the mirror and do nothing. Thank you again for this opportunity to be here. We pray for those who can't be here today. We ask for your spirit to work in their lives and whatever it is that they're dealing with, that you bring comfort and strength, encouragement to those who are not walking the way they should walk. We ask your spirit to do work in lives. All of us have areas where we need to grow. Pray that your spirit will point those areas out and help us to be humble enough to make those changes that need to be made. Be with us today. As the great hymn says, all is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. So help us to get that heavenly manna. Do what will please you. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. If you would, I'd ask you to stand with me. Turn to page 291. Page 291, Higher Ground. Pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining. By faith. page 236. Page 236.
For a moment here, look at John chapter 12 and verse 35. John chapter 12. And look at verse 35. The Bible says in John 12:35, Jesus wept. Right? Jesus wept. You say, preacher, why are you reading that verse? Just hold your hand there and flip over and look at Galatians chapter 4, verse 6. Galatians 4, verse 6. Galatians Galatians 4, verse 6. Galatians chapter 4, verse 6. And the Bible says here to the church of Galatia, "Because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father." So the Spirit's crying within, Abba, Father. Our spirit crying, Abba, Father. You say, why you bring these verses up? I don't know. When we were praying in the office in there, and then coming out here and singing that song, this is what I'd like to say before we go into the next song, is this. You know what might be a help to us? Is if we ask God to help us to cry. There might be some people in here, you haven't cried for years. Brethren, this is not in my notes. I was not planning on talking about it. But I've been praying for our church, and it makes me wonder if some people got some stuff built up for so, sometimes maybe even decades, and they've never shed a tear. It's not good. It's not good. It's not good if you haven't cried in a while. Now, I know there's different personalities. I get that. Some personalities are more given to emotion. I get that. And some personalities are not given to emotion. I get that. I understand that. I understand we all have different personalities. But I'm telling you, sure as I'm standing here, and I don't usually do these things. Those of you who know me, I don't usually do these things. But for whatever reason, Lord impressed upon my heart greatly to say, Jesus wept. Jesus wept. And what might bring a great deliverance in your life is if you ask God to help you to cry. There might be something in your life that you have kept so bound up in you, and you ain't shed a tear about it, and that's what's hindering you. You've taken it upon yourself to handle it, and you're becoming hard as a rock, rather than letting God helping you through it. And when God helps you through it, usually there's tears that flow from it, because there's a brokenness. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. David said, God, you don't want the sacrifices, though God did set up the sacrificial system. Read about it. God said to David, and David said to God, God desires a broken heart before you come with the sacrifice. And what might be needed in this church to help see this church go forward is if God help you to come to some tears. Not maybe in the church service, but somewhere at home. You get alone with God and you cry out to Him. And ask Him to help you with what's going on in your spirit and in your soul. And you might just find the help you're looking for. Again, I don't know why I'm bringing this up this morning. But the Bible says Jesus wept. And the Spirit says it cried. We cry, Abba. We cry, Abba, Father. Ellie, we're going to sing the next page over, brother. I must tell Jesus. What page was that last one on?
236, 237.
Should be 238. Page 238, I think it is. I must tell
you. Page 238. All right, page 238. I love this hymn. I can tell you one thing. No matter how much we try to do things on our own, eventually, if we just go to Jesus and tell Him, He's the one that's really going to help us through it. Let's sing this out for God's glory. Page 238. I must tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear these burdens alone. In my distress, He kindly will help me. He ever loves and cares for His own. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus. Jesus can help me, Jesus alone. I must tell Jesus.
Take your Bibles this morning. Thank you, Ellie. Take your Bibles this morning and look at 1 Kings chapter number 15. 1 Kings chapter number 15. 1 Kings chapter 15 and verse number 9. 1 Kings chapter 15, verse 9. Picking up again this morning with the kings of Judah, how they relate to our walk with God and the house of God, both being the physical house, the church that we have here, and then also our own selves as being the temple of God. What kind of went wrong there in the nation of Israel, both with the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom of Judah. 1 Kings chapter 15, verse number 9. We'll read here to verse number 15. The Bible says, "And in the 20th year of Jeroboam, king of Israel, reigned Asa over Judah. 41 years reigned he in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Maacah, the daughter of Abishalom. And Asa did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, as did David his father. And he took away the Sodomites out of the land and removed all the idols that his fathers had made. And also Maacah, his mother, even her he removed from being queen because she had made an idol in a grove, and Asa destroyed her idol and burned it by the brook Kidron. But the high places were not removed. Nevertheless, Asa's heart was perfect with the Lord all his days. And he brought in the things which his father had dedicated and the things which himself had dedicated into the house of the Lord, silver and gold and vessels." But jump down to verse number 23. "The rest of the acts of Asa and all his might and all that he did and the cities which he built, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? Nevertheless, in the time of his old age, he was diseased in his feet." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this morning, Lord. Please lead God and direct your God. I pray you give the words that need to be spoken. Lord, meet with us, Father. Please meet with us. Please give us what we need. Help us to, Lord, draw close to you. Lord, if there's something in our life, dear God, that, Lord, we've got buried and we kept it there for so many years, dear God, and we've never grieved over it, Lord, I pray you'd help us to grieve over it. God, help us now as we look at Asa. Lord, help us to learn something from this king. Lord, he was a good king and he loved you. So, Lord, I pray you'd help us now as we look at Asa. Open our ears, open our eyes and hearts to receive what you teach us, Lord. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So here we have Asa. You had David. Then you had Solomon. Then you had Rehoboam. Then you have Abijah we looked at 2 weeks ago. And now here we have Asa. And what's refreshing about this story here with Asa is that he is a man that walked with God. The Bible says in verse number 11 of 1 Kings 15 here, it says in verse 11, and Asa did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, as did David his father. What a blessing it is to see a man that's doing right before God and others can see it as well. Now take your Bible, and it says here in 1 Kings to look over at Chronicles. So that's where we're going to spend most of our time this morning as we look at the story of Asa. So over to 2 Chronicles chapter 14 and verse number 1. 2 Chronicles chapter 14 verse number 1. This lesson's going to have to be broken down into two services. I couldn't get everything here that's with Asa in it, into one sermon. So we'll be looking at, Lord willing, the second part next week about this king. But it says here in 2 Chronicles 14 verse 1, so Abijah slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David. And Asa his son reigned in his stead. In his days the land was quiet 10 years. And Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. For he took away the altars of the strange gods and the high places, and break down the images, and cut down the groves, and commanded Judah to seek the Lord God their fathers, and to do the law and the commandments. And he took away out of all the cities of Judah the high places and the images, and the kingdom was quiet before him. Here we find that Asa comes on the scene. He's got land. The Bible says in verse 1 that the Lord provides rest in the land, orders quietness in the land for 10 years. Well, why is there quietness in the land? Why all of a sudden now is there not trouble, struggles with other nations, struggle with the northern kingdom, struggles within the kingdom? Is because this man steps on the scene and he's willing to clean house, so to speak, from the top of the kingdom to the bottom of the kingdom. Now, we had read back over in 1 Kings chapter 15 that the Bible says that he didn't remove all the high places. But we're going to get to a little bit later on what that's referring to, and there's a verse that shows it, is he wasn't able to remove all the high places from the entire nation of Israel. But he did clean house in the kingdom of Judah. He went in, and the Bible says he took away the altars of the strange gods. He took away the altars of the high places. He broke down the images. He cut down the groves. And not only did he do all this cleaning and clearing out, but after he did the cleaning and clearing out, he commanded the people. He commanded the people to seek the Lord God of their fathers and to do his laws and his commandments. So get the picture in your mind. And think about the courage that it took for Asa to step in after his granddaddy Rehoboam and his daddy Abijah, to come in as the grandson and the great-grandson of Solomon, and come in and take out all that his forefathers had built up, which were strange gods that were in the land. This is quite the man. He's a good king. He comes in here with a heart towards God. He knows what needs to be done. And he comes within with an attitude of, I'm going to come in and do what God says to do, despite what the people might think. And we need more men like that today and women like that today that will do what God says to do, despite what the world may think or say. But that's harder to do. It's easy to say, but it's hard to do. It's hard to do. But God will give strength to those that desire to live for him. Think about this for a moment. I don't think this was an easy task. Can you imagine the questioning that came to Asa from those that were under him or those that were around him or the undercurrent in the kingdom of Judah and Benjamin of what is this king doing? Solomon did this, who was the wisest man. Rehoboam was okay with it. Abijah's okay with it. And now Asa come in and he's doing just the opposite of what our forefathers did. With serving these strange gods, with having these high places, with having these groves and sodomites in the land. You know what happens? When you reject God and you reject this Bible and you reject the laws and the commandments that God has and you decide to do it your own way, you know what it leads to? Perversion. It leads to perversion. And that's where we're at today. Sexual perversion rampant through this land. And nobody's the happier for it. Nobody's the happier for it. And it brings ruination and destruction to a country and to a nation. Brethren, even within our own churches, men looking at things they ought not to be looking at. Filth, nastiness in the church house. This morning, I hope not in this church house, and if so, make it right with God. But it's infiltrated every area of life. Now, I ain't got cable television. I don't want no cable television. I'll flush it down the toilet as quick as you could see it. Filth and nastiness on it, but we allow it in our homes. You say, preacher, I don't understand how Israel and Judah could get to this place. Well, just look at the church and the condition it's in today. We allow things in our homes that if it was in real life, we would never allow it in our home. But because it's behind a black screen, we allow it in our home. You wouldn't let two people in your home do things with one another if it was right there in your very presence. But if it's on a TV screen, it's okay. High places, groves, images. Is there things in our life that need to be cut down, torn down, broken down, and burnt with fire? Brethren, these things are serious. Asa, a man of God, comes in and says, you know what? I don't care what my grandfather did. And we're going to get to it too, not this lesson, but he even told his grandma, listen, you're getting off the throne, grandma. You're getting off the throne, grandma, and we're going to do things right here. That was his grandmother. It wasn't his mother. If you do the genealogy on it, it was Rehoboam's wife, which was his granddaddy's grandma. It was his grandma. It was Absalom's daughter in this sense. If you do the research on it, it was actually what some say they believe to be Tamar's daughter, which was Absalom's daughter. So here, grandma's still sitting on the throne. She was on the throne with Rehoboam. She's on the throne with Abijah because Abijah also refers to her as his mother. And now she's on the throne with Asa. And Asa gets to a point, he says, sorry, grandma, you got to go because you're bringing idols into the house of God and into God's kingdom. Amen. You see, if there's people in our life that are bringing things in our life that ought not to be there, that are idols, that are images, that are bringing in things that ought not to be there, God expects us as men to step up and say, I love you, but you got to get off the throne. And there's too many men today being dictated by their wives, too many men or sons being dictated by their mothers or their grandmothers because they're afraid to stand up to the woman and say, no, we're going to do things the way God wants it done. And that's exactly what Asa did. This is strange preaching. I know most of the places like, well, what mama says, mama goes. No, it ought not to be that way. It ought to be said what daddy says goes. Because that's the way God established it. Well, you just don't like women. Well, you just don't know your Bible. I'm not being mean this morning, brethren, but that's why we're in the mess for today, because men won't stay up and be men. They're afraid. If I say something, I might be labeled this. What do you think Asa got labeled? He comes in and he cleans house in this kingdom and God blesses him for it. God blesses him abundantly for it. And guess what God gives him? 15 years of quietness and peace. Imagine how much quietness and peace would be in homes if a man would just stand up to his wife and say, stop. Peace. Quietness. Brethren, I'm not being mean this morning, but that's what's going on in our world today. Men won't stand up to women. They're scared to death of them. They're scared to death. Scared to death. I'm not talking about being no dictator. I'm talking about loving your wife. I'm talking about loving those that are out there. But God expects men to be men, and God expects a woman to be a woman. And there's a proper structure and order that God has established in His Word, and it's there. It's there in the Bible. And He gets these things cleaned out, and things are quiet and restful for 10 years. There's no war. It's quiet. It's peaceful. Why? Because this man did what was right. And there might be quietness and peace in your life if you do what God says to do and get some things cleared out, broken out, cast out, thrown out. And then you might find when you do those things that after what follows after that is peace, comfort, and quietness with your Creator and God. But you're not going to get that peace. You're not going to get that freedom from turmoil and war and strivings and contentions because we're not willing to stand and do what's right. When we stand and do what's right, we find that there's times when we stand and do what's right, then often what follows that, what God brings in and what we see here with Asa, is a quietness and peace throughout the whole land of Judah and Benjamin. And this influence carries over into the Northern Kingdom, where we're going to see it this morning. Take your Bible, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1. There is a lot here with Asa. Asa was a good man. He loved God and he put God first. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 1. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 1. Now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold towards you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence, wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. You might think this morning that I'm walking according to the flesh and some of the things that I just said, but not so, my dear friend, not so. The Bible says in verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God to what? The pulling down of strongholds. That's exactly what Asa did. He pulled down strongholds that were holding the nation of Judah in bondage to Satan. Satan. These are God's people. This is God's nation. God brought them out of the land of Egypt, and now the whole nation, both northern and southern, there's division among the brethren. There's a nation that is divided. There's a nation that has high places and groves and hidden places and idols set up everywhere throughout the whole nation. And it's destroying this nation's walk with God that has the true God. This nation has a true God. They have the oracles of God. They have the writings of God. They have the prophets of God. They have the tabernacle of God. They have the Ark of the Covenant. They have everything they need to serve and worship the true God, but they do everything but that and serve false gods. And in doing so, they bring themselves into bondage. How many of a Christian today is in bondage because of what they have allowed into their life? They've brought themselves into that bondage. They brought themselves into that continual war in their mind and in their heart, because deep down they know what's right, but they just won't do it. And Paul says here to the church, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Verse 5, casting down. Pulling down and then casting down imaginations. And every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Casting down, bringing into captivity, pulling down strongholds, spiritual strongholds. What does this equal? If we can do some of these things, I believe a quietness and peace within the kingdom. A quietness and peace within the kingdom of your soul. Is there distress in your soul? Is there distraught within your soul? Is there fretfulness within your soul? Then what are you allowing to take place of the knowledge of God? What are you lifting up in your life that's also putting down the knowledge that God's given you? You need to cast it down, you need to pull it down, and you need to bring it into captivity. Now back to 2 Chronicles chapter 14. So Asa cleans house. There's quietness and rest for 10 years. He's got quietness in the land. But look what he does in chapter 14, 2 Chronicles verse 6. And this is what we need to do today. Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 14 verse 6. So Asa gets in his heart that I'm going to clean house. I'm going to take away the altars of the strange gods. I'm going to get rid of the high places. I'm going to break down the images, and I'm going to cut down the groves. Asa says, not only am I going to do that, but now I'm going to command Judah, all of Judah, all that is within my reign, to start seeking the Lord God of their fathers and to do the laws and the commandments. I want to stop right there for a moment, and I want you to look at verse 4 before we get into verse 6. Look what the Bible says about Asa as a king. And commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers and to do the law and the commandments. Do you see that? Look, you can only take care of and handle what's in your sphere or realm. You can't handle or take care of things that are outside of your realm or your kingdom. Let me give an example. If you're trying to help people, you can only help people so far because that then comes on them. And see, a lot of people, I think they stretch themselves so thin that their kingdom begins to get broken down because they're worried about others' people's kingdoms, which they have no rule and reign over. Now, you can try to help. You can provide information. You can pray for. You can provide comfort. You might be able to provide some monetary means to help them. But ultimately, that's their kingdom, and they have to fight and stand for their kingdom. I'm talking about their life. You have to realize that you can only help so much. You can only do so much. And you can't let what's going on in their kingdom start affecting your kingdom. You can't let what's happening in their kingdom bring your kingdom into bondage. And when I say kingdom, I'm talking about your life. You see, their life's a mess. And you try to come in and help and bring order and try to work through the confusion and bring the gospel of Jesus Christ in there. But if they reject it and they don't want it and they keep going on in their mess, though you have shown them some things, you need to be careful that you don't continue to get into it because you'll get wrapped up just like they are. Does that make sense this morning? You can only help people so far. Brother, there was a situation these last couple weeks. I got to a place that if you don't help yourself, I am not helping you. I'm not helping you. And if you handle it the right way, you start seeing the true individual come out. They're just using you. You see, you're one that I can always go to and know that I'm going to get something from when I really inside have no desire to change the situation that I'm in. I'm just going to use you as a sounding board, and then I'm going to go right back into the same thing again. When you give me help, you give me instruction, you give me guidance on what to do, but I'm just going to go back and do what I want to do again. Right, you're right. It's not an easy thing. But sometimes if it starts affecting you, that's a key that you need to back off. You say, well, don't you love them? Yeah, I love them. I love them enough to back off. I love them enough to not talk to them no more. I love them enough to separate myself from them. Because they need to see what they need to see. And if I'm always there talking to them, if I'm always there giving them scripture, if I'm always there, all they're seeing is me and they're not seeing themselves and the God that I eventually want them to see. I hope these things make sense this morning. But there comes a time in people's lives to where you have got to break away for them to hit rock bottom, for them to want to recover themselves out of the snare of the enemy and cry out to their God. See, you know what? We, in some ways, and I saw this as a chaplain, sometimes though, a man in his skewed mind can get lifted up because it's helping them make me feel like I'm spiritual because I'm always there helping them. And so man likes when most people like when people come to them as if they're the, for lack of better words, the great guru. Because then we can get lifted up with a spiritual pride like, well, yes, I am the great one to come to for all these spiritual answers, rather than God being the one that they need to go to. And then we take a spiritual pride in it, and then we're feeding ourselves, rather, and neither one is getting the help that's needed. And so if we're really spiritual, we really want to see somebody get help, brethren, and I am more than willing to try to help people. I'm more than willing to give up my own grocery money so that some other person might eat and have food to eat. Brethren, we had some people come through the church here a few weeks back that were homeless. I used my own money and bought them groceries. I speak as a fool. I didn't use the church. I used my money with some of it to give them food. But when the truth come out that all they wanted was food and not God, I'm not giving you no more food. If you can get from a bus from one end of Allentown to the other end of town, you can show up on Sunday morning to church. Yes, you can get a job, which I said. And I dealt with some people. I said, why ain't you got a job? Well, blah, 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 blah. I said, well, how come every time I drive by a certain area, you're still sitting on that bench begging for food? When you're well enough to work. You see, brethren, if I kept giving them food, and I told this person this. I told him this. I said, I could give you $10,000, and within 6 months, you'd be right back where you're at asking me for help, and it did nothing for you. Just help you get along for 6 months. You need God. And you need to hit rock bottom to where you know you need God. Not a program, I'm not against some of these things, but sometimes all we're doing is enabling the situation rather than the situation getting the help it needs from God. But that's the hard thing to do when you love someone. The hard thing to do is walk away. That's the hardest thing to do. It's hard to do. It's hard just to walk away and say, you got to hit rock bottom. And usually when people hit rock bottom, it's not a pretty sight. But that's the help that they need. Brethren, look what here. Judah, it says in verse 4, commanded Judah to seek the Lord. That's Asa could not have influence over the northern kingdom yet. He did start, brethren, as we get through this story, he did eventually start having some influence over the northern kingdom. But at this point, all Asa has influence over is his own kingdom, and that's what he does. So take that to your life. What you have influence over in your life, take it to the extent to where you do what you can do. But if it begins to affect you and your life, maybe you need to back off a little bit and let God work out the rest. So look at verse 6. So now he has quietness and peace. Okay? There's no war in the kingdom. And we come into verse 6 of chapter 14. And he built fenced cities in Judah, for the land had rest. And he had no war in those years. Why? Look what the Bible says. Because the Lord had given him rest. Why did the Lord give rest? I've already said it. Because he did what he knew he needed to do. Amen. And brethren, if you will do what God reveals for you to do, God can then bring in the rest you're looking for. But that rest will not come in until you do what God says he wants you to do. It won't occur until that rest comes. That rest won't come from God. That Asa would have not got that rest and that peace and that quietness and that kingdom if those strongholds and those high places and those images and those groves stayed in the land. It would have never came. He would have had that continual struggle there. But because he was willing to get in there and clear out and do what he could do in his kingdom, God provided rest to him. Verse 7, therefore he said unto Judah, Asa realizes this. Asa knows God's given him rest. Therefore, he says in verse 7, therefore he said unto Judah, let us build these cities and make about them walls and towers and gates and bars while the land is yet before us, because we have sought the Lord our God. We have sought him and he hath given us rest on every side. So they built and prospered. And Asa had an army of men that bear targets and spears out of Judah, 300,000, and out of Benjamin that bear shields and drew bows, 280,000. All these were mighty men of valor. He's got this quiet time now in the kingdom. And instead of sitting back in his throne and having grapes brought to him, being fed by servants, and having great fans of fig leaves on him, Asa says, no, now this is no time to just sit still and be idle. Asa says, we got quietness. We got rest in the land. Let's start building up our fortifications. Let's start getting ready, because Ace is not foolish to know that eventually war is going to come back again. But God has given a space of respite to build up the forces within the kingdom. You see, times in peace in our life, whether physical or spiritual, though they may be times of rest, are not times to be slothful. If God's given you a space of time and a quiet time and more time to read your Bible, you ought to be reading your Bible rather than spending doing it something else, because you don't know when that war comes in. That time you might have spent in your Bible study, you might have been building up that strong tower that in a couple years you're going to need to run back into. But if you wasted that time doing something else, that strong tower didn't get built. So when that war comes 2 or 3 years later that you don't see coming, it comes. Now you have no place to run back to, because you didn't take advantage of the time of rest that God gave you. You wasted it on something else. And then when the war comes, you're stuck. Ace has gotten his mind. It's quiet. There's rest. There's peace. I'm going to build the towers. I'm going to build defense cities. I'm going to build up my fortifications. While God's given me space and time to do something, I'm going to do something. Brethren, take your Bible, look at Proverbs chapter 24, verse 30. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 30. Proverbs chapter 24, look at verse 30. Proverbs 24, verse number 30. Proverbs chapter 24, verse number 30. You see, while the Lord has given us rest and peace, we ought to be working and building up ourselves in His word and His work. One must be careful when there is no war, that they do not become lazy, slothful, and complacent. Psalm 24, verse 30, I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and the nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. This writer of Proverbs here, he gives an illustration. He says, I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding, not realizing what God's afforded him. And there was peace and there was safety. And what need of a strong wall? What need of fortification? What need of dividers? What need of fenced cities? There's peace, Asa. Why, Asa, it's been 3 years, Asa. Nobody's attacked us. Why are you so worried about building up the defenses? We did what God wanted us to do. God's given us peace and rest, and we don't got to be worried about nothing. And this is what's occurred in America, United States of America, and I'm afraid in many of our churches today. America hasn't faced no battles. We've had some battles. I'm not saying we haven't. But very few things in this nation make us to where we continually got to be relying upon our God. If all of a sudden the Twin Towers fall down, then all of a sudden America's praying that God bless America and the churches are filled and all that because something bad just happened. But you saw how long it took to just for everybody just to fall back asleep again. And everything's going good just like it's always going. God's given rest. God's given peace. And God's saying right now, you better be building up your defenses. You better be building up your defenses. You better be having a close walk with me. You better be reading your Bible. You better be studying the Bible. You better be spending time in prayer. You better be about my business. Because son and daughter, there's a war coming. There's a war coming. We don't want to be like this slothful man that let things get so bad and it's grown over with thorns and nettles and the walls broken down and because of some sleep and slumber because everything's well. Think about this for a moment with this situation, with this wall. Now, I don't know how it looks or what it was, but we know that this wall, there was a wall there at one point. We know that. And we know that probably at one point when this wall was built, it was not covered over with nettles and thorns because they were building it. It'd be kind of hard to build a wall when there's thorns and weeds and vines all over it. So at one point, this wall had a purpose because somebody built it for a purpose. You just don't build a wall to build a wall. Okay? We're not going to go out in the woods and say, you know what, let's just gather some stones here and build a wall. No, you build a wall with a purpose. So this wall had a purpose at one point. But for whatever reason, things got easy. And the individual or owner of this wall fell asleep with a little slumber, with a little folding of the hands, and things are going well. And hey, buddy, did you know that something came through the other day and it knocked over part of your wall? Oh, that's all right. It's been good here. I haven't had no problems in that section. It's been good there. I haven't had no issues there for a while, so I'm not worried about it. Go back to sleep or go about doing something. Hey, sir, I just want to let you know, I drove by your section of that wall. It's worse than it was 2 weeks ago. You remember that rain that we had last week? Man, it washed off a whole other section of your wall. It's broken down. I'm just stopping by. I don't know. Just let you know that part of that wall is broken down. I know, but that part of my field over there really doesn't give me much trouble. The animals stay in over there. I really don't have no issues over there. And he lets it go. He lets it go. And he lets it go. And now all of a sudden the enemy's coming in. There's problems in his life. There's problems in that field. And he runs out there to begin to repair that wall. And it's covered over with nettles and thorns. And it's broken down. And it's a bigger problem than he ever thought it was going to be. Imagine how long it's going to take to fix this wall. Because the first thing you got to deal with is getting those thorns and those nettles out of there before you can even start stacking those rocks again. And that could be quite a painful situation. Brethren, if we let things break down in our life, and we say, it's okay over here in this area of my life. I really don't need work in this area of my life. Things have been fine in this area of my life. And you don't build up the wall and protect that like convictions, like singing out of a hymn book, like reading and using a King James Bible. Before you know it, those walls start getting broken down. And here comes an NIV. Here comes some CCM sneaking in the back door. Here, what? But it was so good. We had quiet and peace and rest and an enemy. Because the walls got broken down and ain't nobody come in to try to repair it and build it back up. And it occurs in our life too. Well, I don't really need prayer because I haven't been praying and things have been going pretty good in my life. And you're letting that wall break down. And you're letting it break. Well, I study my Bible early this week. I read a few chapters early this week. Wall breaking down. Wall breaking down. An enemy's watching. And he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. An enemy creeps on in and brings in problems and destruction and anxiety and issues that you never would have thought come in because you let the walls get broken down. Asa says, it's quiet, it's peaceful now. Instead of taking rest, I'm going to start building and bringing up my fortifications. Brethren, look what this Bible says next here. Take your Bible, look at Ecclesiastes chapter 10. Ecclesiastes 10, and look at verse number 18. Asa is a man set to work. Asa is a man set to work. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 18. Kind of the same principle that we found over in Proverbs chapter 24, we find here in Ecclesiastes 10, verse 18. By much slothfulness the building decayeth, and through idleness of the hands the house droppeth through. Brethren, you think about it in your own house, in the own place where you live. Brethren, if you don't vacuum, if you don't clean things up, if you just continually let things go in a state of disorder, it's going to continue to break down, not get no better. And the Bible principles found here in Ecclesiastes 10:18, if you leave something to itself and you don't place emphasis on it and you don't spend time with it and you don't keep it clean and you don't keep it orderly and you don't fix the problems that are in it, the Bible says by much slothfulness the building decayeth, and through idleness of the hands the house droppeth through. You see, I'm going to just use a carnal illustration. This church ain't going to stay the way this church is if nobody does anything. If nobody does anything with this church from here, if the Lord tarries and 100 years out, this church probably won't be standing. It's going to have some major issues just because of time. What time does to a vehicle, what time does to clothing, what time does to these chairs, what time does to buildings and anything, if it's left to itself, it goes into a matter of decay and ruination. It takes an outside force to come in and keep it to where it needs to be. And it's the same way with your spiritual life. You need to allow God to come in and work in your life to where it doesn't come to a place of decay and destruction and ruination. How does that happen? By coming to church, by reading your Bible, by praying, by studying, by being with the brethren, by doing the work of God, you help your spiritual house to not come to a place of decay and ruination. Now, look at Jude chapter 20. Look at Jude chapter 20. We're going to close up with these verses here this morning. Taking advantage of the time that the Lord has given us. Taking advantage of the time that God's given us. I said in a Sunday school hour, and in this hour here, God expects us to work. God created us to work. God did not create mankind to sit idly by. When we sit idly by, we get that's the devil's playground. An idle mind, I don't know what the saying is, but it's kind of like an idle mind is the devil's workshop, the devil's playground, right? You have got to keep busy, both if you can, both physically as much as you can, and mentally and spiritually. You can't get into a place to where you just relax and let the walls down. That's what society wants to try to do today, and that's what society is pushing, is just let the walls down, and can't we all just agree to disagree? No! If you preach Christ Jesus and you preach that book, it's going to bring a division. It's going to bring a division. And you can't reconcile God with the world because the world is at enmity with God. The book of James. He that's a friend of the world is an enemy of God. You cannot reconcile the two. And what we're trying to do today is reconcile the two, and it can't be reconciled. True Christianity and this world. So there's never a time to where, though God may provide times of rest and respite, even in those times to where there's quietness in our life, God expects us to be doing something even in those times of rest and peace. There's never a day you can take off reading your Bible. There's never a day you can take off praying. You can't say, well, I prayed yesterday, I had a good prayer time yesterday, I'm just going to scoot today and not worry about my prayer life today. You're letting the wall get broken down. A stone's been taken off because you neglected the prayer today. Well, I had a good Bible study this past week, so I'm not really going to study my Bible much this week. You're letting your wall fall down a little bit. We need to take advantage of the times that God's given us. Jude chapter 20, look at Jude chapter 1, verse 20. But ye beloved, look what he says. But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. The sentence continues, keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Look what it says in verse 22. And of some have compassion, making a difference. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Do you see these verses in the book of Jude? Jude says here in verse 20, but ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. Building up yourselves. Are you building yourself up, brethren? Are you building yourself up on your most holy faith? I hope we are. Because I'm afraid, brethren, and I'm not trying to... Brethren, I just don't get a good feeling about the future. Let's just leave it at that. I don't get a very good feeling about what's coming down the pipe. And I've been saying this for a while now, and I believe God's brought me here to help you people out, and myself out, to build up ourselves on our most holy faith. Stop getting caught up with this world's telling you to get caught up in, and get caught up with Jesus Christ. The secure foundation of Jesus Christ, our strong tower, our rock, our deliverer, our strength, our buckler, our shield, our captain. Building up ourselves on our most holy faith. Look what it says next. Praying how? How does it say pray? In the Holy Ghost. I'm not talking about tongues now. It doesn't say tongues. It says praying in the Holy Ghost. Take your Bible, look at Romans chapter 8, and hold your finger there in Jude, because we're coming right back to it. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, look at verse 22. Romans chapter 8, verse 22. Remember what Jude said. Jude said, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Look at what the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 22. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now, when he wrote this letter. That's 2,000 some years ago. I'm going to get to a point. Just stick with me, please. Please stick with me. I'm getting to a point here. Look what Paul says to the church that the creation experienced up to that point to where he wrote that letter. For we know that the whole creation, everything you see out here on this planet, groaneth and travaileth in what? Pain until now. The zebra getting eaten by the lion today. The squirrel getting hooked up by a hawk. Brethren, I saw an image the other day. I couldn't even believe it. I forget what kind of deer it was or what kind of... And there was this bald eagle. I don't know if some of you might have seen it. There was this bald eagle on this deer on the back of it and just pecking a hole into the side of that deer. And that deer was alive, standing up. And it's just eating it alive, basically. That thing was feeling pain. And that's what the Bible's talking about here. Paul's saying that not just you and I feel pain and grief. All of creation has to experience the consequences that man brought in by sin into this world. This whole world is suffering because of man and its sin. And the Bible says here that the whole creation groaneth until now. Look at verse 23. And not only they... Not just creation, he says in verse 23, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Look what he says now, stick with me through this. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, what? To what? To the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But look at verse 25 and 26 now. But if we hope for that we see not, then we do with patience wait for it. Look what it says in verse 26 now. Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. That's praying in the Holy Ghost. But how many Christians get to that point? I love you this morning. I really do. I love you. But how many of us have gotten to the point to where we're praying in the Holy Ghost? With groanings that can't be uttered. But God knows what's on our heart and on our mind. And he knows what we're praying for. And he makes intercessions for us with groanings which cannot even be uttered. That's the spiritual life. That's the deeper walk with God. Brethren, I love you this morning. I really do. There's a time and place for prophecy. There's a time and place for all kinds of things. But this is the deeper life with God. We got a lot of knowledge today. We got a lot of Bible colleges. We got a lot of Bible universities. But brethren, I went through 6 years of school, got a master's degree, and I only had one class that caused that. And I went to a Christian university. I only had one class that required me to read my Bible. I went to a Christian university. One class out of how many classes I took for my bachelor's and master's degree, one class the professor required of us to read a part of the Bible. One class at a Christian university. And we think we're going to have power with God? We've relied more on methods and means and programs on how things should be done for God. And I told those men in that room right there, I said, you know what's going to get it done today? Prayer. People that are willing to pray. I would love to get to a place in prayer in this church to where we're groaning and praying out with prayers that can't even be uttered because we're praying in the Holy Ghost. And it's not charismatic. It's Bible. It's Bible, brethren. This isn't the Assemblies of God saying this. This is Romans chapter 8 and Jude verses 20 and 21. We're so far gone. I'll put myself in the same. I'm so far gone to where the power of God is to move a nation, to do what the disciples did and turn the world upside down. How did a few fishermen, a physician, a tax collector, and a few other nobodies turn the world upside down? They had a walk with God. They prayed. They had fellowship with one another. They were of one mind and one heart and one spirit. They were joined together, and that body was able to plow through walls that the devil put up. Amen. We can't agree about nothing. And we're not going to run nothing over by the power of God. I believe with all my heart. I believe with all my heart that God's trying to get attention. Get our attention on what really matters. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Again, I'm not talking about speaking in tongues. That's not what it's talking about. Because Pentecostals will go to this. See, that's no. It's all about groanings which cannot be uttered, right? But it's still Bible. We can't look at this and say, "Well, that's charismatic." No, that's Paul writing to a church. You know what? Because Paul realized that this is what we need. We need Christians that will get to a point to where they come to the end of themselves and they start walking in the Spirit and not in their own intellect and in their own thoughts and in their own reasonings, but in what the Bible says. All right? Now, Colossians, I'm going to close with this verse here. Colossians 2, 6, and 7, and we'll pray. We'll finish up the rest of it next week. I didn't even get as far as I wanted to get. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. This notion of building up, of laboring. God doesn't want us just being idle. He wants us to be about His business. Jesus Christ is a perfect example. If you get time this week, try to read through one of the Gospels. And Jesus Christ was not idle. He was consistently being about His Father's business. And it's the same thing we got to be. Consistently about our Father's business. Colossians 2 verses 6 and 7. And we'll pray. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. Amen, preacher, I'm saved. I've got the Holy Ghost. I've been made a new creature in Jesus Christ. I'm alive. So walk ye in Him. That means you got to get up and you got to start walking. Walk ye in Him, rooted, and look what it says next, and built up in Him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding. Rooted, built up, established, abounding therein with thanksgiving. So my prayer this morning, and what I ask this morning is, are you allowing the Lord Jesus Christ to build you up? Are you laboring in the things of the Bible, in God's Word? Are you a worker for the Lord Jesus Christ? If not, get into the labor, get into the work that God has for you. I'm not asking you to do what a pastor does. But what I am asking you as a pastor is for you to do what God wants you to do and what you're capable of doing. I don't know what you're capable of doing. I don't know what you got going on in your life, but I know if you're saved, God's got something for you to do. Be about that business. Don't let it fall apart. Start building up that wall in your Christian life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this morning. Lord, I thank you for your word. Lord God, there's so much here. Lord, there's so much. The depths of this, dear God, it's so deep. Lord, I pray you'd help me with it, dear God. Lord, help me, Lord, not to get lazy. Help me not to get slothful. Lord, areas I've been slothful in, dear God. Lord, areas I've been lazy in, Lord, help me to get in there and clear out those thorns and clear out those nettles, dear God, and those vines, Lord. And help me to get in there in areas of my own life and start rebuilding that wall, dear God. And Lord, I pray you'd help us as a church, dear God, at Ray Street Baptist Church. If we've let some things go in our life, dear God, to where we look over at that part in our life that it's broken down, dear God, it's not what it used to be in our life, dear Lord. I pray, God, if there's areas in our life that where they're not what they used to be when we first got saved, dear God, I pray you'd help us to get over there and start doing some work and get those walls built back up to what they used to be when we used to love you with all our soul, mind, and strength. So Lord, help us to take advantage with the rest and the peace that you've given us in this time of respite in our nation. Lord, we got time. We got freedoms to hand out gospel tracts. Lord, we got freedoms to carry around our Bible. Lord, we got freedoms that other countries don't have. Lord, help us not to be lazy. Help us to be about your business. And we'll give you the glory and honor and the praise for it. And we ask these things in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Ellie, you come on up here. I want to close with a hymn this morning. If you're able to stand and take your hymn book, if you're able to stand, take your hymn book. Page number 639. Page 639. I think it's kind of applicable with what the sermon was this morning. Page 639.
Get together and have prayer and preaching, and we thank thee for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ,
amen,
who shed his precious blood for our sins, that we would be like him,
amen,
walk in his pathway, and serve him until you call us home.
Amen.
We thank thee for the day, Lord, that you've given us. We thank thee for our preacher. We are grateful for that. And his family, and we are so grateful, Lord, that we could be loving and serving and faithful. And
yes.
Ralph said that we could meet at a place like this.
Amen.
And other people are meeting maybe in a field, in the woods. We know that it has taken place. And we're so grateful for everything that you have given us, Lord. We just pray that we would have safety as we travel home.
Yes.
And bring all of those back again that are coming tonight. And we ask it all, dear Father, in Jesus, our Lord and Savior's precious name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Love you, Brendan Smith. Lord, we'll see you tonight. Amen.